Greetings, Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I trust that we have already been blessed by God's word that was shared with us here this morning. I couldn't help but think as we were listening to who Timothy is or was, and thinking about the discipleship that must have taken place in his life and how rewarding it is for our lives when we are willing to be that person, willing to open ourselves up and invite someone to disciple us. And as that happens, we also open our lives up and become a discipler. And just, I was just blessed and challenged by that in thinking about that's who God wants us to be. And the fruit that that bears when we allow, when we invite that into our lives. Let's pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning that we can be gathered together here as your people. We thank you for teaching us already. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to teach us, that you would show us the things that you would have us to learn here this morning, Lord, that we would be reminded and encouraged and challenged by the preaching of your word. I pray this morning that you would be with those that are not here, that are at other places. We just lift them up to you and just pray that they would be blessed and encouraged this morning. Lord, we desire to commit this service here to you. We pray, Lord, that you would receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like to turn to 1 Peter here again this morning. And as we do that, a verse that I would like for us to remember if as we go through this message, and that a verse to take home with us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We can remember that is our hope, that is our identity this morning, is there was a time that we were not close to Jesus. There was a time that we were hiding, and I trust and pray that our testimony today is that we have a relationship with Jesus, and that's why we're here this morning. We look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we go to verse 9. It talks about the kind of people that we are. And if we remember the last time that I was speaking, we were talking about the beginning of the chapter. And in closing, some of the thoughts that I left with us was how Adam and Eve, they had sinned. And it's easy for us to think that, or at least for me, that when we do wrong, we want to go in hiding and people are displeased with us, or God is displeased and wants nothing to do with us. We were reminded this morning that with Cain and Abel, that when that situation unfolded, God came looking and wanted to restore a relationship. And we see the same thing happening in Genesis there with Adam and Eve, is that God came walking through the garden and he was desiring to restore a broken relationship. So as a reminder, this morning, as God's people, that's the kind of God that we serve here this morning. And it's exciting and encouraging, and we can find safety and encouragement in that, that the God that we serve is not easily going to, is not going to let us easily go astray. When he finds us falling, he's going to come and start knocking on our heart saying, "Hey, where are you at? What are you doing?" And so we can be assured of that this morning. Verse 9 here, maybe I'll read, starting in verse 9 here, I'll read through verse 17. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Going back to verse 9 here, we're reminded what kind of people we are. And I, as I was just pondering that verse, I believe that we can know the relationship that we have with God. And we can, as I was pondering this, we can know that we are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to God. That is something that I believe God wants us to recognize that, and that we identify ourselves as that kind of people. And we know when we found ourselves in a situation like Adam and Eve did, they were hiding. We understand. We know when we're in that situation. We know when we have not yielded our lives to the Lord, and we're hiding, we're not willing to surrender or to acknowledge our sin. We know when we're in that situation. So this morning, he's encouraging us here in verse 9 that we know in Christ who we are. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belongs to God. That's pretty exciting when we can identify ourselves as such. And why can we do that this morning? What are some of the reasons that we can? We have become the people of God. There was a time that we weren't that kind of people, but now we are. We have received mercy. How have we received mercy this morning? When we repented of our sins and accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, that's when that this relationship started, and we belong to God. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." This was given to encourage the children of Israel here. We realize that they were, as well, they were saved from Egypt, and they were told to how they should live. And we realize, as we look at what happened there, is that they were unable to fulfill that. And when we stop and look at our own lives, we realize that we have fallen short as well. But and in that state, we also have been saved from that. And so therefore, as we've come to Jesus and accepted Jesus, who knew no sin, and saved us from our sinful state. And so that is our hope. And so when we think about that and being a chosen people, a people that has accepted what Christ had to offer, and so God is looking on us as his people that has accepted this. And so that changes who we are. In Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So once we were far from God, now we can be, as we have confessed Christ, as we've given our hearts and lives to him, that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We look at verse 10 here, "which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We look at that verse there in 10 there, and it says, "not a people, which in time past were not a people." What is he talking about there? And so I was processing that and just looking at that. We think of a people without Christ, living life alone, trying to find something that is lasting. We think of a people without purpose, missing the very point of life, and never able to fulfill or to satisfy the things that have value, failing to find purpose in life. I think that's what he's talking about there, is a people that is just aimlessly going through life, trying to somehow make it work, and it doesn't. in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's how we've come to that place, as we've accepted what God made available to us, and that's how we have become a chosen people and a holy nation, a people that belongs to God. And so we have to come to an understanding that it's not because of who I am. It's not because of my upbringing. It's not because of who my parents are, or because I'm here this morning in Beacon of Light, but it's because of who Jesus is. It's because of what Jesus has done in my life. And that's why we can claim that we can identify ourselves as a chosen people and a people that belongs to God. And as we take that promise and claim that as who we are and why I do the things that I do, what a difference that's going to make in my daily walk in this life. The things that I do, the places that I go, the victories that I can win because of realizing who I am in Christ. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We're reminded here that we don't fit into the normal. What is the normal? The things that are going on in this world, we don't fit into the mold that most people fit. We are like strangers in a foreign land when it comes to the things of the world. And we might understand that better if we've ever put ourselves in a different country, in a different culture, and or a different language. And we recognize very quickly that we're foreigners. The money they use, and we try to make sense of how they buy things and the value that their money has versus our money. We try to communicate, and it's difficult. It's painful, and the way they understand things and the way we understand things, it doesn't take us long to be in that situation and to identify ourselves as like, oh, I'm not part of these people. I don't think the way they do. I don't communicate the way they do. I'm struggling to make sense of it all. And we feel out of place. And I think that's what he's saying, that as we interact in the world as a Christian, those are the things that we're going to experience. And we're going to recognize ourselves as different. Other people, the world is going to say that, but we as God's people are also going to recognize that. And we're going to be okay with that. We're going to rejoice in that because we realize that we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a people that belongs to God. And that's going to be our identity as we go through this world. Verse 12, have your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So having our conversations honest among the Gentiles to realize, people will realize that something is different. As we think about being God's people, and as we fight sin that wants to push into our lives, it wants to destroy us. But as we allow that, as we fight against those things, and we see that in verse 11 there, the flesh, the lusts, which war against the soul, these things want to destroy us. They want to put us in hiding. God wants us to remember that we're a peculiar people, that we are His people, but Satan wants to destroy us through sin. And so as God's people, we need to recognize that. And we strive to fight against that. And as we do that, our lives become honorable. And as God changes my heart, as He changes your heart, we're going to notice. The world is going to notice. And the world's going to say, what about these people? What's going on? And they're going to realize something changed. What happened? And they're going to recognize that it's not just me trying to do better. It's not just you being your best, but there's something going on. And we can testify as that happens that it is the power of the gospel that is changing me, that is changing you. And our actions, our lives are going to proclaim who Jesus is. And through that, as we see that happening in our lives, as we realize what Jesus is doing, we have hearts of gratitude that rise up in us, and we have a desire that our lives would bring glory to God, because we realize, we see what God is doing in my life, what God is doing in my brothers' lives. And so, because of that, I desire that my life would bring glory to the Lord. And because we realize that He is worthy, when we see the things that He is doing in my life. In verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As God's people, we are called to live respectful lives, to the authorities around us, to our governments, and as we think, as of respectful lives, in verse 13 there, it says to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And as I process that it represents a heart of submission, a heart that is showing respect. As God's people, we are called to live honorable lives. Our lives should be evidence that we are doing, that we are different from the evildoers, from the people of this world. There's something different going on. There's a different motive. We have a different reason for doing that. The evildoer, the ungodly person, the reason that they, in many cases, the reason they would obey the governments and the laws of the land is they don't want to deal with the consequences. They don't want to pay the fines. They don't want to spend time in prison. And that is true for us too. I don't like paying fines. I don't want to spend time in prison. I want to be a free man. Our lives should be evidence that we are different from the evil doers, from the people that have not been redeemed. We are called to live respectful lives that represents submission. When we ponder that this kind of testimony is going to be effective. People, the world will know the truth about our lives. Verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, not to exercise our liberty. That is intended for harm, but shows our submission and servanthood to God. So we stop and ponder the laws of the land, the governments that we have, and that we're reminded here that we there's another reason why we do these things is God's word teaches us, and as we live that out, and are obedient to that, the testimony that we have. And it points, a finger not to us, not how good of a person I am, but when we do it in humility, when we do it in a way that is coming from something deeper than ourselves, it reminds people that we are living for something other than ourselves, that we're God's people, and that we're following the teachings that we have in God's word, and in the fruit that will bear for the Lord. Not to exercise our liberty, but shows our submission and servanthood to God, remembering that we are a servant of God. How easy it is for me to follow my own ideas, my own desires, and manipulate things to benefit me, and that help fulfill the desires that I have, that I want to accomplish, and when we do that, how that is not showing, it's showing who I am, it's showing the decisions that I'm making based on my ideas, not on not thinking about who I am. When we go, when we look at verse 9 and we are claiming, when I'm claiming this verse and realizing and acknowledging that I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, when I make decisions with that in my forefront, realizing I'm a child of God, and as I make those decisions and that I'm living for Jesus, and how that changes my perspective as I do that. Verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor all men. I thought I had there is, remember that all people have value. As we honor people, as we honor all men. So who does that include? That when we remember that all people have value, it, I think, includes those people that we like, those people that we agree with, those people that we don't agree with. It includes our neighbors. It includes the stranger that we don't know. It includes that person that we feel that hasn't been fair to me. Why do they all have value? It's because Jesus loves them and wants a relationship with them. Regardless of whether they have accepted his love or not, he's seeking them out. And he may want to do that through me, through you. And are we aware of that? Do we invite the opportunities that we have in that? As God came seeking out Cain, and when he was in sin, so is God doing to the people in our surroundings that we know. And so therefore, we do well to remember that people have value, and that we're to think about that with people. Love the brotherhood. Love the people of the church. Things that came to mind is that it means to care for one another. And some ways that we can do this, and I know there's many more, but some of the things that came to mind is one way that shows that we love the church is when we spend time discipling one another, supporting each other. We help each other with whatever. The things that are important to you, I'm willing and wanting to get involved into. Protection. We desire to protect each other in many different ways. And so we desire to share fellowship when we take time and have fellowship with one another. We're showing that we have love for the people of the church. When we come together and pray and worship and open scripture, that's a real sign that we have a love for the church, a love for one another. Then right in the middle of verse 17 there says, fear God. When we think of fear, we often, in our language, we often think of something that we're afraid of. And we'd better do this so something else doesn't happen. So it's something that in many cases we want to avoid. And as I was processing that, like to go just look again, remind ourselves of the promise there in verse 9. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are God's people. And in verse 10, it reminds us there that that wasn't always the case. We didn't always have that promise. We weren't always there. Once we were in sin, and now we're in a position that we've obtained mercy. And so when we think about the fear of God, having a reverence for who He is, I'm reminded of the relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden. And then they broke that relationship by allowing sin into their lives. And they went into hiding. And they weren't in a good place. They weren't feeling good about themselves. And they knew that they didn't want to be there. And God came seeking them out. And so when we think about fearing God, and I'd like for us to be reminded of that, how it was when we didn't have a relationship with God. And that we desperately need that and want that. And so remember, when we were in that place, it was not a good place to be. And so in a sense, yes, we fear God, but not in that sense, but rather we want to keep that relationship. And then the last part of verse 17, honor the king. What are some ways that we can do that? We can pray for them. We can speak with respect. We can pay the dues that we owe. Respect the laws that they have in place. These are just some ways that we can show our honor. So as we ponder these things, may we be challenged and encouraged in that. And again, I'd like to remind us that we're to walk. We're to claim as God's people. And remember that we are a chosen people because of our position in Christ. In closing, John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May God bless each one of you.